The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome to another edition of The Ride Home with John and Kathy, live from the Salem-Pittsburgh studios. And now here are your hosts, John Hall and Kathy Emmons.
Hey, good afternoon. Greetings. Welcome along for the Wednesday edition of The Ride Home on a holiday weekend. Kath, good to see you. I see you're sporting the red today on our Facebook stream.
I sure am, John. Mm-hmm. And nice. It's not a holiday weekend, I want you to know, because
it's a holiday week.
Yeah, it's Wednesday.
Sorry. Right.
I didn't want you to get excited that like tonight was like a big Friday or something.
No, it's not. No. Okay. Well, I'm just thinking, you know, Friday, a lot of people have Friday off, right? In anticipation of the 4th of July.
I think
if you're working.
Well, Friday's the national holiday, right?
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
I believe so. Yeah.
So, okay. Well, I'm very excited. It's all about, you know, we're having a graduation party at my house, but for most people it's about, you know, barbecues and I don't know, like hot dogs and setting off fireworks every hour of the night.
Well, that's been going on for the past several weeks. So just another day here in the city of Pittsburgh. Hey, Kath, on this July 1, happy opening of spring training to you.
Listen, I'm almost excited about it.
It's crazy. In some weird way, I am too as well.
Yeah, I'm almost excited. Here's the reason why I'm not fully excited.
Hmm.
I still don't believe it's going to happen.
That they will play sports live.
Yeah.
Just baseball in particular or all organized sports?
All
hockey and whatnot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Well, I guess it's just a grand experiment.
I know.
Right? We're waiting to see. And this is the first wave.
I don't wish that they won't. Obviously, I'm very excited about it.
Yeah.
Super excited. I can't wait for it to happen. But maybe I don't want to be disappointed. And so I'm trying to preempt it or something.
Right. Well, here's the weird thing. I mean, a lot of major league ball players, well, I'd say a lot of, but several major league ball players are saying essentially thanks, but no thanks. Ian Desmond, who plays for the Colorado Rockies, he's going to pass up $5.5 million this season for the 60 game season and say, you know what? I'm a little more concerned about the health of myself and my family. So with the blessing of the Major League Baseball Players Union, I'm going to pass. He's going to join Ryan Zimmerman, who is from the Washington Nationals, Joe Ross from the Arizona Diamondbacks, Mike Leake, Diamondbacks as well. That's a lot of money they're just passing up, but they figure it's just not worth it to go out there and put myself in quarantine with a bunch of other guys and roll the dice. So thank you, but no thank you.
Listen, I understand where they're coming from, especially, you know, Zimmerman, I believe his wife's pregnant. I think his mom has MS. They got a lot of personal concerns. I think over the next 48 hours, we're going to hear a bunch more players since spring training has actually started, who are going to come out and say, you know what? I'm opting out for one reason or another. Now, here's the thing. For Ian Desmond to forego the salary he's going to get, what did you say it was, $5 million?
$5.5 million.
Okay. So, I mean, I'm trying to kind of, that's a lot of money. But say you make $50,000 a year, it's probably like giving up $5 grand. Now, $5 grand is still a lot.
Sure.
But if you make 50, it is a hit, but it's not a huge hit because, you know, I think that's probably kind of what it's like for him.
Yeah. I mean, it'd be fabulous to be able to, you know, have that ability, that power to say, you know, I got money in the bank and
exactly.
I'll just pass, right?
I love it.
Yeah, it's very weird. So opening day, when exactly are they set to play? Later on in July? Is it July
21st?
Okay, 21st. Okay, 3 weeks then of spring training and boom, they're going to play some exhibition games, I understand, as well.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Now, and also, is it true that spring training is being held at PNC Park?
Yes.
And the players are staying where?
That I don't know.
Right across the street at the, you know, Hilton, whatever that is. And there's a lot of places close by.
Yeah. I don't exactly know. All I know is that I'm not sure who's going to be pitching for the team. I mean, it just seemed like...
There's another suspension, right?
Yeah, exactly. And then we never talked about Chris Archer, you know, with the season ending. I mean, it's just the pitching rotation. Hey, I'm a huge, I love Trevor Williams. Yeah. I love Jameson Taillon. I get, you know, Jameson's not, he's not ready to play. He's not going to play this year, right?
No, you know. As bad as the Pirates are projected to be, this shortened season probably is the best blessing possible.
I'm trying to think who our starting pitchers are. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we have Trevor Williams. We have Stephen Brault.
I don't know. Seriously, I don't know. I haven't paid any attention.
I mean, that's not good. That's not good.
Yeah, that guy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just a little turnstile. That's all. Just keep going around. Okay, thank you.
Seriously, do we have enough pitchers to have... A rotation.
I don't know. 60. Okay. I mean, 60 games. They might be throwing Mike Duffy in there for all we know.
Hey, speaking of, did you hear about Jung Ho?
Oh, Jung Ho. Yeah.
Isn't that interesting? Sad?
So Jung Ho has said, basically, I'm too much of a distraction. He said something about his moral character as part of this.
Yeah.
That he's apologized to the nation of Korea for being a distraction. And he essentially has just left baseball. Right. Yeah. That's wild. I mean, that's a sad story.
Listen, Koreans don't mess around when it comes to drunk driving.
No.
Like, no human should mess around when it comes to drunk driving.
Yeah.
So when he did that, you know, his fan base just cut him off.
Well, it was three drunk driving convictions, right?
Yeah, well, see, there you go. Cut him off. Yeah, but so that you don't think they would have cut him off with just one?
I don't know. I mean, three is a heck of a lot, isn't it? One's bad enough, but you do it three times.
Do we still know what happened with the woman? From Chicago, who
the undetermined woman who just went away.
What happened to her?
I don't know. My guess is there was a large cash payoff, and she, you know, probably signed a non-disclosure agreement. Right. She's gone. I don't know. It's crazy times we live in, Kath. Is it not crazy?
It is. All right. But we've got a great show today, John.
We do.
For a Wednesday, this is a terrific show.
Good.
Would you like for me to highlight a couple things?
Please do. Bring it forth.
Carl Reiner's passed away. So in the 5 o'clock hour, we're going to talk about Carl Reiner. What a hilariously creative man.
Great creative.
Oh, my gosh. Anyway, so just really sad. We'll talk about some incredible laughs from Carl Reiner. Jerry Boyer will be with us for almost the entirety of the 5 o'clock hour. We'll talk about all sorts of different things with him, including whether conservatives have invested too much time and energy in focusing on the judiciary, because look what's happened. In the 4 o'clock hour, we're going to talk to Dr. Tremper Longman about what scripture has to say about masks and statues. That'll be interesting. And what about the fake Burger King? We'll talk about if you ever went to that and if you remember it or not. Coming up next, the Reverend Josh Brown, Fiery Trials. When Peter says, don't be surprised, he meant it. Don't be surprised. It's next, the Wednesday edition. Right home.
WORD.
How do you know if your neighbor, your friend, your business partner is really a Christian or not? This week on Through the Bible, Dr. McGee tells us that while it's not always possible to tell if someone is a genuine believer, God's Word does describe two marks of identification which can help us be discerning. So join us on the Bible Bus as we travel through 1 John.
Through the Bible, this evening at 9 p.m. on 101.5 WORD.
You know, it's true. Difficult times have a way of focusing us. We have to think about what matters most when it comes to our spending, our health care. No doubt, this is why so many people are joining MediShare right now. MediShare is a trusted way to save up to 50% on your monthly health care costs. More than 400,000 people have already made the switch. It's pretty obvious why, too, especially now during this challenging season with healthcare costs and out-of-pocket expenses going up. MediShare can save you a lot of money. The typical family saves $500 a month. And MediShare is a Christian healthcare sharing ministry that's worked beautifully for 27 years. There are different options to choose from to fit your budget. I'll give you the number here in a second. And if you call, you can get a price within 2 minutes. Maybe now is the perfect time to make the switch and start saving. Here you go. Call 844-57-BIBLE. That's 844-57-BIBLE. 844-57-BIBLE.
I was talking to my sister about refinancing, and she reminded me about her first refinancing experience years ago. It was about 25 years ago. And she didn't try to understand the process. Basically, she just picked the company's name out of a hat, hope for the best. Well, in that process, she talked to six different people in the same company. And the night before she was to sign the papers, they called to say they had miscalculated. And please, when you come in tomorrow, bring a check for $950. Now, clueless about the process, she complied and went in with a check for $950, signed all the papers, and that was that. Oh, and at the signing, the agreed upon interest rate was different. Years later, my sister cringes at her inexperience and still feels foolish knowing that she'd been duped. At United Faith Mortgage, that story is never going to happen. Their small family team allows them to give you personal one-on-one service, and you'll be with that same person all the way through the process, upfront, transparent, from start to finish. Family and faith are at the middle. UnitedFaithMortgage.com.
United Mortgage Corp, Melville, New York. NMLS number 1330. Department of Banking. Mortgage lender license number 22672.
It's Mattress Firm's 4th of July sale. Save up to $500 when you get a king mattress for the price of a queen or a queen for a twin. Plus, get a free adjustable base when you spend $699. And get 50% off select mattresses from our top-rated brands like Beautyrest, Serta, and Sleepy's. Shop in-store, online at MattressFirm.com, or by phone with a sleep expert for these amazing deals. Hurry in, only at Mattress Firm. Offer valid with qualifying purchase. Restrictions apply. Valid at participating locations only. Some hot buys only available online. For offer details, visit MattressFirm.com/sale.
Dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come on you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice, inasmuch as you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. If you're insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed, for the spirit of glory and of God rests on you. If you suffer, it shouldn't be as a murderer or thief or any other kind of criminal or even as a meddler. However, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name.
That's fabulous. What is that, Kath? First Peter what?
That's First Peter 4, John.
Very nice. Do not be surprised. Pastor Josh Brown is with us. Pastor Josh is the pastor at Belfield Presbyterian Church in the Oakland neighborhood here in the city of Pittsburgh. Josh, you preached on this on Sunday. How are you, sir?
I'm doing pretty well, John. Kathy, thanks for having me on. Hope you guys are well.
Very good. Always a pleasure. Thank you.
Okay, so you're saying that we should listen to Peter when he says, look, why are you so shocked that you're suffering?
Yeah, it's a really interesting passage. John, as you mentioned, it's one that I spent a little bit of time with. I preached on that this past Sunday. Even just more broadly, I'll say that I know at least three other pastors who are friends who kind of all independently of one another, we felt like First Peter is a book that we should be spending some time in recently. So it's just an interesting one. I think it's one that speaks to a lot of things that people are going through and experiencing right now as a whole. Because Peter talks a lot about these ideas of hardship and hope, and he's very, very direct about it, very just forthright about it, and not trying to sugarcoat anything really for people, but to say to believers, certainly the first believers to whom he was writing, but to us now, hey, this is what the world is like. You should know that, and you should know that it can be very difficult at times, and yet there are what he calls subsequent glories that we have in Christ. So it's a wonderful framework all throughout the book. And this part in particular, I think, sums it up perhaps as well as any section in the book.
So, Josh, if you would have described where we are currently to someone this time last year, people would have shaken their head and gone, no way, man, the economy's doing great. Everything's good. We're flying along right now. No problem at all. And here we are. I mean, in many ways, we've been brought to our knees with no end in sight. So the scripture does not lie at all. It tells us the truth.
No, that's exactly it. It's hard to, you know, there's some passages in scripture you read and you think, well, it's kind of hard to figure out what's going on here. Maybe you got to look at some other commentaries or some writers. And then there's some parts I think you read and you think, yep, I get that. That makes sense. In this one where Peter's saying, hey, don't be surprised. There are going to be times when life is just very, very difficult. Now, he's talking in this section, he's talking specifically about suffering in the name and for the sake of Jesus. So that is a particular kind of suffering. Yes. But certainly more broadly through the letter, he talks about some other ones. And I think just that phrasing where he says, look, it's not like this is something strange. Jesus told me this is what's going to happen. Peter is kind of saying, and I'm passing it on to you. When Jesus said to Peter and the rest of the disciples, in this world, you are going to have trouble. He said that, but take heart because I have overcome the world. And so Peter's relaying that same message to believers. He's saying, hey, don't be surprised. This is not something strange. This happens. Doesn't necessarily happen all the time, but there are going to be seasons when there's difficulty, when there's suffering. And sometimes, specifically because you're a Christian, and when that happens, he says, don't lose all hope. Don't think that everything fell apart, like everything's wrong. There's something that you need to see in the middle of that, and that is that Christ still is who he said he is, that the gospel is still the hope that we have in Christ, and that he said those things are sure. They're certain. We rejoice, he said, because the spirit of glory and of God rests upon you.
Reverend Josh Brown is with us from Belfield Evangelical Presbyterian Church in the Oakland District of Pittsburgh. Josh, what about the health and wealth gospel? You know, people who are driving home from work, people who are still going to work, or people listening to the show who don't hang out in church, haven't read the Bible, and they say, well, you know, I saw this guy on TV, and he said that if I believe in Jesus or do whatever, that I'm going to be fine. I'm not going to be sick. You know, I'm going to say the right thing, and I'm going to be healthy. I'm going to maybe send in a check, and I'm going to be sure of my forgiveness and whatever. And not only that, but I'm going to have some wealth coming my way.
Yeah, you're right, Kathy. I mean, passages like these just, I think, show how misguided that whole approach is. And it's something that is, certainly it shows up a lot of places in American Christianity, but we're not the only country or the only culture where you see those things. You're right, though. You hear messages that say, hey, as long as you smile big enough, everything's okay. And as long as you believe strongly enough, then you're going to have fabulous wealth, perfect health, uninterrupted luxury and comfort in your life. And you're right, if you send in an extra check to us, you know, you can be even more assured that those things are going to happen. And there's an appeal to that, and you can't deny that. I mean, everybody wants to be told, like, yeah, everything's going to be great. It's going to be perfect. There's a reason people kind of hear that and buy into that. But you read I don't see how that's something that you can find support for when you read the authors of the New Testament, really when you read even the Psalms. The psalmists just lament the difficulty of life. And again, you look at what Jesus said, where he said, no, in this world you are going to have trouble. In John 17, when he's praying, he said, Lord, he's saying to the Father, he said, I don't pray that you take them out of this world. In other words, that's still going to be the case. He said, I pray that you protect them from the evil one. So we know kind of where the story's heading, even if in the meantime, it can be pretty rocky. Paul talks about the kind of suffering that he went through. He lists them in a lot of his letters. Peter's writing this year. Peter got executed probably just a year or two after he wrote this letter, from what we can tell. So, it came home really fast and very real for him, even though he'd already been experiencing it.
Yeah. So, Josh, what strikes me about this passage, do not be surprised by the fiery trial when it comes upon you as though something strange were happening to you. Well, yeah. To believe in Jesus is something strange in many ways, isn't it?
It is, and that's why there is this kind of response to it. I mean, you read where it says if you are insulted for the name of Christ, or if anybody's suffering for a Christian, you think, well, why in the world would that happen? I mean, if Jesus is as good as we all say he is, if the gospel is the good news that we say it is, why in the world would it generate any kind of pushback? Why would it generate any kind of disdain from people? And it's because if we really see what the gospel is saying, that it does, it pushes against a lot of our assumptions. If we think that sin is no big deal, if we think that as long as the good we do in life outweighs the bad, if we think that we can earn some kind of standing before God, then hearing the gospel, which says, no, you are dead in your sins and trespasses, and your only hope is in Jesus Christ, who freely from his mercy has brought you back to life, that's can be very unsettling. And so I think that's one of the reasons why Christ has and his gospel have always generated some pushback, because it points out some, before you hear the good news, you hear the very uncomfortable bad news about what's really going on in our hearts and what that means for us before the Lord. So yes. it generates that. And I think that's particularly what he's getting at in this section. He said, look, I want you guys to know what you're signing up for. I want you to know what's in store here. I want you to be surprised.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. Pastor Josh Brown with us from Belfield Presbyterian Church in the Oakland neighborhood here in the city of Pittsburgh. So, Josh, when this all started to happen way back, you know, in the early days of March, and, you know, you could sort of see the shifting sands and perhaps the handwriting on the wall, a lot of people were saying, well, don't let this time go by. Do something intentional. Engage deeper, stronger. As here we are now in July, with no end in sight, Can you talk about, from your perspective as a pastor and as a believer, whether it's, you know, shepherding your flock, your family, or just you internally, how has this time intersected with, you know, your theological strength and your belief in Christ during these very strange times?
Yeah, that's, I mean, appreciate you asking a question like that. It is, I think, you know, what I'm experiencing personally is probably not different than what other people are, which is to say, all right, well, this is going on a lot longer than we thought it was. It seems to be more difficult than maybe people thought it was at first. It's creating all kinds of new challenges. I don't have the answers for those things. You know, I try to see what are the most responsible and faithful ways that we can just navigate this, for me personally, for my family, for the church, recognizing that, yeah, the best we can do is commit all these things to prayer and spend time and just seeking the Lord. But passages like this, I think, are reassuring, actually, because you hear that it's not just all kind of a warning on the front end. Woven in throughout even this section and throughout the whole letter are these just kind of strands of hope that Peter is always getting there. So he says, even in this one, he said, rejoice, because you're going to rejoice when Christ's glory is revealed. Don't be ashamed, he said, that you can glorify God in that name. And throughout the letter, every time he says a kind of word of warning, if you will, it's balanced with this word of hope in saying, but this is what's true about Jesus Christ, that death is not the final word in the story for his people, that it could be very, very difficult for you right now. But he said, you will rejoice and be glad when Christ's glory is revealed in the end.
Yeah. Amen.
1 Peter 4:12-19.
Josh, just about a minute left. I think, yeah, it's probably worth saying again. I'm sensitive to people who are, you know, just turned in the radio program and they're thinking, you know, Christians are always telling me that my life should be good. And right now I'm miserable. I'm depressed. Maybe I'm laid off. Maybe I don't know what my next career path is. I think it's important for us as Christians to continue to say, look, if you're suffering, that's okay.
It is, yeah. I think one of the big things that causes this problem is that we've equated any kind of like earthly blessings or comfort or anything that we might have right now. We think that in and of itself is like the only thing that shows God's love to us. So that if those things are missing, somehow means that God doesn't love us, or that somehow means that the connection got broken somehow. But it's not a one-to-one correlation. Certainly God can provide many blessings and comforts in life. But if they are not there, it does not mean that God is not there, or that God is not who he said he is, or that those things are untrue. So, yeah, for people who are going through any of that kind of stuff, job loss or just suffering, grief or mourning or just anxiety or fear or whatever it might be, I know we've talked about this on the show before, too. You read the Psalms and you see that the full range of human experience is there in the Psalms. And you read something like Peter where he's saying, yeah, this life is like this sometimes, but here's what's ultimately in store. And here are the things that are true that are not going to be changed by anything that you're going through. So make sure that you have those as anchor points. And then it allows you to say, yeah, in the meantime, it's pretty rough right now.
Right. Josh, before you leave us, I just want you to talk about and maybe comment on what happened today. I mean, since the death of George Floyd, the streets have been active with demonstrations and all manner of people speaking out. Today, I believe in Oakland, there was a peaceful prayer gathering. Can you speak to us about that?
Yeah, there was. They called it an interfaith vigil for Black Lives. It was originally organized by Grace Memorial Presbyterian Church in the Commonwealth, but then ended up being over 30-some, I think was the final number, mid-30s, different congregations and organizations in the Oakland and kind of greater Oakland community. And the thought was just to gather for a time of peaceful, prayerful, visible witness. So there's definitely a range of faith perspectives out there and traditions, and yet it was, you know, it was meant to be a time where there could just be a time for people of faith to gather. And I can't speak for how everybody handled that time individually, but I know that it was a time of prayer, a time of just reflection, time of just committing ourselves to the Lord and trusting ourselves to His ways.
Mm-hmm. That's the Reverend Josh Brown. Josh, thanks for being with us today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my pleasure. Thanks for having me, guys. I hope you continue to stay safe and healthy.
And you as well, Josh. Pastor Josh Brown. We're talking about 1 Peter 4:12-19. Do not be surprised by the fiery trial when it comes upon you as though something strange were happening to you. Let's take a break. We'll step away for just a few minutes.
What about the fake Burger King? Yeah.
When's the last time you were on the South Side?
It's been a while.
Yeah, well, you know, a couple of years ago, you could have had it your way, which is not exactly the King's way. We'll talk about that next.
America, America, God shed his grace on thee. And wow, hasn't the Lord blessed us here in America? Hi, it's me, Marcia, from the Springhouse, and our family is just so thankful to live in this great country. So let's celebrate with a good old-fashioned chicken barbecue meal at the Springhouse. My brother Sam and his four boys will fire up the barbecue pit outside and cook long and slow the chicken quarters, dousing them every 5 minutes with our secret butter vinegar sauce. Keep cool inside the Springhouse sun porch and enjoy all our most popular family recipe sides to go with a barbecue chicken hot off the pit. Summer's a great time to top off this meal with a toasted almond fudge ball or a mud-covered dirt ball. Take a spin down our hillside slide and let the baby calves lick your fingers for a memory-making experience on the farm at the Springhouse. 724-228-3339 or springhousemarket.com.
As the will of the students goes, so goes the will of the nation. This is a central theme of the new movie, Return to the Hiding Place, the film about Corrie Ten Boom and her secret army of teenagers' heroic efforts to hide and save Jews from the Nazis during World War II. Corrie's story was made famous by her book and original movie produced by the Billy Graham Association. Now, 45 years later, comes Return to the Hiding Place, the untold behind-the-scenes true story of Corrie's secret army of student teenagers' efforts to rescue Jewish people. Told by Hans Poli, one of Corrie's teens in the Resistance, Return to the Hiding Place is an action-packed film of the Dutch underground's true breathtaking rescue of an entire orphanage of Jewish children. Return to the Hiding Place, starring John Rhys-Davies. Watch this captivating movie tonight with your older children at SalemNow.com and save 20% with the promo code MOVIE. Return to the Hiding Place at SalemNow.com, promo code MOVIE. Due to historical content, might not be suitable for younger audiences.
The Crohn's and Colitis Foundation has been at the forefront of inflammatory bowel disease research and care for over 50 years. Learn more about research, education, and support at Crohn'sColitisFoundation.org.
This is Tim Seckler inviting you to tune in each and every Saturday morning at 9 a.m. right here on Word FM 101.5 for the Life and Legacy Show, sponsored by my law firm, the Seckler Law Firm. Each week, we'll talk about your family's well-being as it relates to elder law, nursing home stays, estate planning, and keeping your hard-earned savings. And if you missed the Life and Legacy Show, you will find it archived at SecklerLawFirm.com. See you Saturday morning at 9 a.m. right here on Word FM 101.5 for the Life and Legacy Show.
101.5 WORD-FM Pittsburgh. On your smart speaker by saying, play the word, Pittsburgh. And on your phone via the Word FM mobile app, iHeart, TuneIn, and at radio.com.
Clear tonight, low 63, mostly sunny for Thursday, high 88. Thursday night, clear, low 65, partly sunny, hot on Friday, high 93. Saturday, partly sunny, humid with a shower or thunderstorm, mainly later in the day, high 89. Partly sunny on Sunday, high 89. With your AccuWeather forecast, I'm Andy Robb.
We follow a lot of news sources in the course of preparing for the show, and I saw this article from a website called Cracked. And Cracked, C-R-A-C-K-E-D. When I was growing up, Cracked was sort of like the companion to Mad Magazine.
Sure, right. I remember that.
I mean, it was just, you know, it was like sort of a B, you know, not that Mad Magazine was, you know, the integrity A+.
Yeah, good. I'm glad we cleared that up.
But Cracked was sort of like sub below of Mad Magazine. Mm-hmm. Anyway, now apparently they are a website. And I saw this article from last week, The Crazy Story of the Fake Burger King in Pittsburgh. And within said article, they mentioned this video. This is Peggy Finnegan and a local reporter. I don't believe she's with the station anymore. Tamika Artist. Here's some audio from this story. Mike?
Tonight, customer confusion. The sign on the outside says Burger Burger King, but on the inside, a different story and different burgers. The restaurant has been a longtime staple on the South Side. Customers have been wondering what's going on. And Channel 11's Tamika Artis discovered another company is taking over. And Tamika, there are changes tonight just since you started working on this.
Well, lots of things have changed here over the past couple of hours since we started out on this story. I'm going to step out of view so you can see how the Burger King sign has been removed. Workers came out of here and did this about an hour or so ago, but inside, they're still wearing Burger King uniforms. This whole thing has had a lot of customers here on the South Side quite confused, especially when they walked out of this restaurant with food that they say was not what they thought they were paying for.
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't even know that it, you know, anything had changed.
It's not often that Montanya Crosby comes to the Burger King on Carson Street, but she was expecting to have it her way when she ordered a couple of meals for the kids.
The food was in a brown paper bag. The fries were in a Dixie cup. I'm like, what the heck is this?
What did they say?
They didn't say anything.
She isn't the only one asking questions about the flame-broiled burger joint. This all began when people started commenting on a Pittsburgh social media site.
Okay, Mike, that's good. Okay, so look, if you're a Pittsburgher, tried and true, I mean, how many times you've been on Carson Street on the South Side and that Burger King, you know?
Listen, that even looks shaky. It does.
I mean, it's a really weird story. So apparently here's the story, that the people who own the Burger King franchise on Carson Street, apparently the place had fallen into such disrepair, they'd received so many complaints that way back in 2014, Burger King corporate said, you know what, we're pulling your franchise. But the people who owned the Burger King were like, okay, well, we're just going to operate like we are Burger King, even though we're not, and we're going to call ourselves Southside Burgers. But they chose not to change the sign. The employees were still dressing in Burger King outfits. Now, they were seeing, people said, we spotted Burger King employees at the Giant Eagle buying buns and burgers and Costco fries. So they were kind of making up their own menu. You could go up and get a burger, a Whopper with as many patties as you wanted. You could. They were also having a homemade chicken tenders. It's a really weird story. Apparently, they operated.
Wait. Does Burger King, did they not know about this?
They did not know about it. No. So then on Reddit, the website Reddit, with all the social media streams, people said, I was just in that weird Burger King on the South Side. Something's not right. So then local news media picked it up. Channel 11, Peggy Flanagan, Tamika Artis. While the reporters were there, employees of the Burger King climbed ladders and pulled down the Burger King sign. And then they said a guy who was supposed to be a security guard told the people to, you know, leave. All news media should leave immediately. We're working out the situation. Now, apparently everything worked out in the end. Well, although the owner with the franchise, he lost the franchise. Burger King shut down for a while. They reconfigured, and now it's Burger King again, not Southside Burgers. It's very strange.
All right. First off, this is not a surprise to any of us who spent any time in the South Side. No. Can we all say that unanimously? Yeah, we can all say that.
Southside. It's his own place.
Second of all, I feel like it's important for me to say, if I had to eat any fast food burger,
yeah,
I would pick Burger King hands down.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You like
now,
a Whopper?
I have not had a Whopper for health reasons in a long time.
Yeah.
But I think they are shockingly delicious.
They are very good. Yeah, yeah. I mean, you can, when you go buy a Burger King and you know, you can smell the charbroiled thing.
I love that.
Right?
I love that smell.
I think that's legit. I don't think
if
that's
if you were
some
going
kind of
to pick
thing.
A fast food burger and health was not a consideration, which one would you choose?
Five Guys.
Okay, Mike, what would you choose?
Five Guys as well.
Okay.
That's a good burger.
Oh,
and those fries are excellent
as well.
Here's
the thing, though. I feel like that's not fast food.
Oh, it's fast. What do you mean? You go in there, you get your burger in 10 minutes or less. That's fast food. What do you think it is? It's not gourmet food.
I feel like it's too nice to be fast food.
Too nice? Have you been in the Oakland Five Guys?
No, I'm not saying that it's nice? A palace, but I'm also saying it's not the Southside Burger King.
Kath, it's
they can't
Five
be,
Guys.
They can't be in the same family.
No, they are in the same family. The only difference is Five Guys.
The same genus
peanuts.
Or phylum. I don't think they can be.
No, that's the same thing. Five Guys is much more expensive than Burger King. There's no
See,
doubt
that's
about
what
that.
I mean.
But it's just a better burger. You're paying for what you get.
I don't know.
That's all.
Okay.
Anyway,
I mean,
watch out for the fake
yeah,
Burger
Five
King.
Guys is probably better, and I wish I had one right now because it sounds
Me
very
too.
Delicious.
Yeah. Put all that right. on your menu. When you want to eat poorly, stop on C5 Guys.
And listen to the ride home with Johnny Gaffney.
All right. Take a break. Come back. Tremper Longman's going to be with us. Tremper is an Old Testament scholar. He's going to talk about Old Testament with modern day overlay. What does COVID-19 look like? The wearing of face masks, Black Lives Matter, all that from an Old Testament perspective. That's next here on The Ride Home with John and Kathy.
WORD.
Coming up on Love Worth Finding.
Here's what we need to understand. It may be possible for some earthly kingdom to be in decline and God's kingdom be doing quite well. Millions and millions have come to Christ in a bad political situation.
Join us for Adrian Rogers' series, Whatever Happened to the American Dream, this month on Love Worth Finding.
Tonight at 11 on 101.5 WORD.
We're all thinking a lot more about staying safe these days. Windows R Us Pittsburgh is no different. When it comes to working around your home, Windows R Us remains committed to the safety of you and your family. For roofs, gutters, and downspouts, siding, and of course, windows, Windows R Us Pittsburgh can answer the call. With over 50 years of home remodeling experience, Windows R Us has earned its reputation as the area's premier exterior replacement company. And all work will be done in strict compliance with the government's social distancing guidelines. If you've had damage, you may be eligible for a free repair or replacement. Visit WindowsRUsPittsburgh.com for a free inspection from one of the highly trained appraisers. You'll love their no-pressure approach, no hidden fees, and one of the fastest turnaround times in the industry from a company that will never skip town when it comes to honoring their warranty. Why pay double? Trust the area's premier exterior replacement company, WindowsRUsPittsburgh.com. That's WindowsRUsPittsburgh.com.
When good sleep seems impossible, Mattress Firm's Rest Assured Promise checks all the sleep boxes. The option to shop online, in-store, or by phone with a sleep expert? Check. Special financing? Check. Free shipping to your door? Check. A king-size mattress for the price of a queen, plus a free adjustable base with a qualified purchase of just $6.99? Check. Find your mattress at Mattress Firm. Offer valid with qualifying purchase. Restrictions apply. Valid at participating locations only. Visit mattressfirm.com for complete details.
When the earth stands between you and a finished project, you need E&K Excavation. Whether you have to dig it, grade it, drain it, prep it, stabilize it, shape it, clear it, or dispose of it, E&K Excavation has over 100 years of combined experience and a fleet of heavy equipment to help you bend it to your will. They can handle any size project for your home or business, providing quality results on time and on budget. For a free quote, visit ekexcavation.com. They'll move the earth for you at ekexcavation.com.
Hey, are you guys open?
Yeah, we are. Come on in.
As businesses reopen across the nation, is your business prepared for what comes next? Salem Surround can help. COVID-19 brought America's thriving economy to a screeching halt. But now, local businesses are getting back to normal. Are you ready for the return to business and all that pent-up consumer demand? Contact Salem Surround.
Learn more by logging on to surroundpittsburgh.com. Surroundpittsburgh.com. Connecting you with new customers.
Well, there's nothing new under the sun. I think we can all agree with that. So with the rise of a global pandemic and, of course, people's reaction to that, do I wear a mask or not? And with social upheaval, economic upheaval, Black Lives Matter, and the tearing down of statues, what does that look like from the scriptures? What is the Lord telling us from that? Because clearly the answers are in there. Well, Tremper Longman is with us. Tremper is a distinguished scholar, professor emeritus of biblical studies at Westmont College in Santa Barbara, California. He has authored or co-authored more than 30 books. His latest and excellent book, very timely, called The Bible and the Ballot, Using Scripture in Political Decisions. Tremper, welcome back to the show. How are you today?
I'm great, John. Thank you. Hope you're well, too.
Thank you. We are.
Well, Tremper, you have waded into it in this book, have you not, my friend?
Yeah, I have, Kathy. And I've heard from people on both sides in terms of a reaction to what I say. But as I say in the book, we don't get specific policies from the Bible, but we do get principles that are applicable as we think through policies, and also it should shape our attitudes toward discussing these policies with other people as well as our rhetoric.
Yes.
I just need to get you to say that again, simply because this is very confusing and causes a lot of angst with people who believe in the Bible and who read it, that they're looking for policies there. They're not looking for principles.
Yeah, and I think it's a mistake to think you're going to find policies there. You are going to find principles that will sometimes lead to specific policies or advocacies, but there's also a matter of wisdom as to how you take these principles and apply them. So let's just say there's a definite and probably one of the clearest principles in the Bible is that we should care for the vulnerable, for the poor, for the immigrant, for the for poor people, for et cetera, et cetera. But how best do you do that? That's been the question as to how do you address issues of poverty, of racism, et cetera. But there's no doubt about the fact that the Bible is, to use a modern term, anti-racist in its principle, you know, not just by anti-racist, meaning that it would lead us to speak out against any forms of racism, not just not being racist ourselves, but to advocate for and to move toward policies that would eradicate racism in our societies.
So, Tremper, we live in this soundbite age, right, where everybody's attention span is about that of a gnat. So the idea of people digging down deep into the Bible, into God's holy word, looking for principles that can be overlaid on where we are today.
I mean, it's a lot to ask, right?
Right. It would require some reading and study and prayer, right?
Yes, yes. So, yeah, prayer is so important, and reading, you know. And you know, this is newsflash to Protestants, who the Bible's not easy to understand. I mean, the big points, the important points are very clear. You know, what's necessary for our salvation is clear.
Yes.
But it's not as easy as picking it up and reading it and saying that applies directly to us today. So in my book, I spend the first couple of chapters talking about how what's the appropriate way of reading the Bible and deriving principles, particularly when you're dealing with the Old Testament, which is a whole different circumstance in our own, in terms of the fact that in the Old Testament, God has chosen to work through a nation to reach other nations, whereas today, God's people are the church drawn from all the nations of the world. And so the coming of Jesus did, of course, radically transform. It's not that there's not important principles that are still relevant to us today, but there are other things that aren't. So we have to work through what we might call issues of continuity and discontinuity. So it's not as simple as just picking up your Bible and reading it. You have to give it thought as you do that. And so, of course, that's what I've dedicated my life to. 40 years of studying scripture and writing books that have the intention of helping people read the Bible better. And it's had the also the effect of helping me read the Bible better.
Good.
You know?
Okay, so then, Tremper, then let's take one of these modern problems. I mean, I've been thinking about this a lot. My guess is you have as well. But, you know, if you're out and about with the general public today, as odd as that may be, many people are committed to wearing a mask in social circles, or when they go to the grocery store or whatnot.
Or they're mandated to wear
one. And many other people refuse to wear a mask. They believe it's a violation of their civil rights, and they push back because they believe that, you know, we're living in a time of massive hoax. So how do you make sense of this, mask or not, government yeah. or not, yeah. truth or not, from yeah. a biblical perspective.
Well, and there are a lot of issues there, right? You know, yeah. But the first one has to do with rights. Yeah. So we all are God, created in God's image. We have, I believe, certain rights, but I also believe that Christians ought to be among the first to sacrifice their rights on behalf of other people. Okay. Mm-hmm. So, and also, and this is another question that we should talk about in the future, the whole suspicion of science that has grown among Christians is a big, big problem and totally theologically unfounded. And so that has led to these kind of distrust of health officials and too easily kind of accepting conspiracy theories about health. The science seems pretty clear, very clear. It doesn't seem very clear. It's very clear that if you wear a mask, you are not protecting yourself so much, but you're protecting the other person. And doesn't the Christian life, doesn't Christ call us to lay down our life on behalf of other people? So this idea of asserting your rights by not wearing a mask, if it was a risk that you were taking to your own life, that might be one thing. But what you're basically doing is showing contempt toward other people as you assert your rights. So, yeah, my wife and I, we, you know, go out a couple days, a couple times a day. I live in Alexandria, Virginia now. When we go out, we'll wear a mask. We'll take it off if there's nobody around. But if we get close to people, we'll put it on out of deference and out of love for that person who is created in the image of God. So that's the way I would reason biblically about this matter of masks.
So to love other people is a good reason to wear a mask.
Yes, yes. Yeah, I mean, I think, the evidence is very clear. Mm-hmm. That this is an extremely contagious disease, that it's even contagious when it's asymptomatic. At the present time, we're, and by the way, I am someone also who knows that there are serious, horrible effects of the economy, you know, shutting down. So
surely, yes.
I am in favor also of working really hard to carefully open up, and not wearing a mask actually is going to have the opposite effect,
right.
and that not wearing a mask, the disease is going to spread more, and either more people are going to die, or, you know, restaurants are going to have to close again,
right.
et cetera. So,
right.
So it isn't an economy versus health matter
right.
either.
Right. Yeah, okay. No, so I see people wearing masks, and, you know, people have slogans now on their mask trimper. So maybe a new mask would be just have a black mask with "Love one another as I have loved you" on the mask.
Yeah.
You
know, right.
I'm going to signal
right,
that.
Right. Yeah. I mean, that'd be great. Maybe some Christian entrepreneur out there can pick that idea up and run with it.
John's going to do that tonight. Yeah. Trimper's going to go home to his little home printing
yeah.
press, and he's going to change
right.
his life forever.
No.
Okay, yeah. Trimper, we only have a couple minutes left, and so I don't want to get into a whole other subject just because it wouldn't be fair. But, you know, the mask thing, I hate to wear a mask. I hate it. I just hate it,
yeah.
but I do it.
Me too.
And I think that's important to say. We're not talking about doing something that you like to do. It's really super annoying. It's hard to communicate with people. I hate not being able to see people's expressions. I mean, there's nothing, but this is just what we're doing as we care for each other. And I feel like if this is the mandate that Jesus has given us, if this is the most I'm going to have to do for somebody else is wear a mask, that is not that big of a thing.
Yeah, that's right. That's well stated, Kathy. I totally agree with you about that.
All right, Trimper, listen, our time is up. Tell me the title of the book again and how people can get it.
Sure. The Bible and the Ballot, Using Scripture for Political Decisions, just came out in January. And you could get it at Amazon or any, you know, ChristianBooks.com, or it's on Kindle. It's on Audible too. And it's on in paperback as well.
Right. So it's one of these works, Tremper, that you're able to offend people, left, right, Christian or not. You're equal opportunity here through the lens of Scripture.
Nice job.
Yeah. One review said it well. They said, if you're conservative, you're going to be offended in some parts. If you're a progressive, you're going to be offended in other parts. And I would say, yeah, right.
Nice. All right. That's Dr. Tremper Longman, distinguished scholar and professor emeritus of biblical studies at Westmont College, Santa Barbara. Now he's living in Alexandria, Virginia. I got to talk to him about that. Anyway, book, The Bible and the Ballot, Using Scripture in Political Decisions.
Trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors.
Stock market have you nervous with all the massive fluctuations? With the impact of coronavirus and the upcoming election, it's virtually impossible to guess what will happen next. With Vantage Point, you don't have to. Text the word money to 411-411 to find out how our technology can forecast market trend changes with up to 87.4% accuracy. That's right, 87.4%. Text the word money to 411-411 to get what you need to stay ahead of market trends and better protect yourself from sudden downturns. Vantage Point's patented technology analyzes huge quantities of global data in seconds. No more guessing when to stay or when to get out. Text money to 411-411, and we'll send you a link to our free demo. Text money to 411-411 so you can better protect your hard-earned capital with Vantage Point. Don't wait. Text the word money to 411-411.
Go to VantagePointSoftware.com for terms, conditions, and privacy policy.
So I was doing yard work the other day, leaning over a prickly bush, holding a heavy pair of electric hedge trimmers, sweat dripping off of me, and thinking to myself, self, how is it that we've come to loving yard work so much? I think the answer is, aside from being outside in God's handiwork, we love yard work because we love the immediate results and the feeling we get when the job is done. It's Ryan, and at our Faith and Family Mortgage team, helping you with a refinance or cash out refinance is similar. A lot of people don't want to do it because they don't want the short-term sweat. But when you consider that rates are historically low, and when you consider that our company has a direct lender advantage, getting to use its own money within its own walls, and how that often leads to a better rate and monthly savings for you, the end feeling could definitely be worth it. Plus, we'll do most of the hard work for you. We our United Faith Mortgage.
We pay your appraisal fees, up to $500.
United Mortgage Corp, Melville, New York. MLS number 1330. Department of Banking. Mortgage Lender License number 22672.
First Presbyterian Church is a beacon of light and love to this community.
The message that I hear sustains me for the whole week.
I love this church because of the diversity and the music and the people.
The incredible beauty of the space.
A warm, welcoming congregation.
The people are amazing and truly love one another and Christ, and our pastor preaches the gospel.
I want everybody to Pittsburgh to come and experience.
First Presbyterian Church of Pittsburgh, in the heart of the city, with the city in its heart.
Hello, I'm a famous rock star. You're too kind. Anyway, I'm just a regular guy. I love my family, and I love my Skechers. Looks like Skechers is getting some love, too. They've got slip-ons, flexible knits, and so many ultra-comfortable shoes with Skechers' exclusive air-cooled memory foam. Yep. When it comes to comfort and style at a great price, absolutely nothing beats Skechers.
Find Skechers at a Skechers store, Skechers.com, or wherever stylish shoes are sold.
I spent the last, 6-7 weeks hanging out in the book of 1 Peter, and it's just so good. And the reason I've been hanging out in it is that it talks about suffering, and it talks about all different kinds of suffering. It talks about the suffering that comes from believing in Jesus. It talks about the suffering that comes from just living in the world. And it talks about the suffering that comes when you screw up. But it is such a rich, rich resource to help us get a different perspective on where we are. I mean, it's just so good. And it also tells us a lot about how to treat each other while we're suffering. I mean, it's like written for us today. It really is. Nice. It's specifically written, I think. And I don't want to say specifically because it was specifically written for the people he wrote it to. But I think that for those who suffer for the name, for the sake of Jesus, those are the ones who are most lovingly mentioned in this book. And it's just, I don't know, it's given me so much perspective and joy and peace. Anyway, so we're going to read a part of it now.
Fabulous. We'll read from 1 Peter, as Kath said, 1:22-23.
And no, 1:22-2:3.
Oh, I see. Sorry there. 1:22-2:3. Okay. It says this. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for each other, love one another deeply from the heart.
For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God.
For all people are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word that was preached to you.
Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, slander of every kind. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good.
Fabulous. Rid yourself of all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind.
Love one another deeply from the heart.
That's beautiful. 1 Peter 1:22-23. Yeah. Take a break, come back. Jerry Boyer's with us during the 5 o'clock hour. Don't miss Jerry. He's always fantastic.
Listen on your smart speaker, the Word FM app at wordfm.com, iHeart, TuneIn, and on radio.com. In the car or at home, too, at 101.5 WORD-FM, Pittsburgh.
With SRN News, I'm John Scott. With coronavirus infections surging across parts of the U.S., states in the midst of reopening are hitting pause on some plans to lift restrictions. Outbreaks in Florida, Arizona, Texas, and California have already forced those states to take measures to limit crowds and shut down gathering places. New York Mayor Bill de Blasio says the city is delaying its resumption of indoor dining at restaurants, not because of any rise in cases in the city, but because of upticks elsewhere. U.S. companies added nearly 2.4 million jobs in June. The payroll company ADP says small businesses reported the largest gain, adding 937,000 jobs. Stocks finishing mixed on Wall Street, even as gains for technology stocks pushed the NASDAQ to another record close. The Dow off 78 points, but the NASDAQ picked up 95. This is SRN News.
Now streaming on SalemNow.com is the brand new film, Selfie Dad. Selfie Dad is a very funny yet powerful movie about a Christian dad in a midlife crisis who becomes an overnight social media phenomenon, only to turn away from God and his family. But when he's confronted with a newfound friendship and the life-changing truths of the Bible, he learns the only way to have true happiness.
Some of these things I just can't fix without some sort of direction. And I'm finding it right here in the Bible.
God can do incredible things.
Selfie Dad stars Christian comedians Michael Jr. and Shonda Pierce, as well as Grammy singer, YouTube star Jamie Grace, and War Room's Karen Abercrombie. It will inspire you to find the life-changing value of the Bible. Watch Selfie Dad at SalemNow.com and use promo code GOSPEL to save 20%. That's SalemNow.com, promo code GOSPEL.
You've all helped build MyPillow into the amazing company that it is today. Now, Mike Lindell, the inventor and CEO of MyPillow, wants to give back to my listeners. You can get great discounts on all MyPillow products if you go to MyPillow.com right now and click on the Radio Listener Specials. You're going to see some amazing offers. Right now, MyPillow is offering an exclusive radio special. Today, we're offering buy one, get one free on a variety of amazing products, including the Supima MyPillows, MyPillow Towels, Roll and Go Anywhere Pillows, Duvet Covers, Giza Pillowcase, Bolster Pillows, and Neck Pillows. Plus, if you buy Mike Lindell's book, What Are the Odds? From Crack Addict to CEO, you'll get free shipping and a $25 gift card. Just go to MyPillow.com, enter promo code WORD, or call 800-391-0954. Be sure to use promo code WORD. MyPillow is answering the call for more face masks as the country continues to deal with a global coronavirus pandemic. They'll be making face masks for hospitals across the country.
Traveling internationally may not have been a priority for you in recent weeks, but as our country and others around the world start to reopen, we're confident it will be safe to travel to the Holy Land this December. Israel has already reopened to the public while maintaining safe social distancing. In fact, an independent organization recently rated Israel as the number one country on its COVID-19 safety ranking. There is no better time than now to sign up to join Dr. Sebastian Gorka and Mike Lindell from MyPillow on the Stand With Israel tour this December 2nd through 11th. Visit sebgorka.com and click the Israel banner to register. Seize the moment to celebrate life, freedom, and your faith by signing up to visit the inspiring Holy Land. Here's the best part. If for any reason you can't go, cancel without a penalty between now and August 14th. Reserve your spot today and travel to Israel this December with Dr. Sebastian Gorka and Mike Lindell. Visit sebgorka.com and click the Israel banner.
Clear tonight, low 63, mostly sunny for Thursday, high 88. Thursday night, clear, low 65, partly sunny, hot on Friday, high 93. Saturday, partly sunny, humid with a shower or thunderstorm, mainly later in the day, high 89. Partly sunny on Sunday, high 89. With your AccuWeather forecast, I'm Andy Robb.
Welcome to another edition of The Ride Home with John and Kathy, live from the Salem-Pittsburgh studios. And now here are your hosts, John Hall and Kathy Emmons.
I don't know what's happened. Mike, John looks like he's in the depth of a, I don't know, a hostage situation on the other side of the globe. Why is he so dark and
I don't know
gray?
What happened.
Have you been captured?
Really, it looks like I'm in a dungeon somewhere in Turkey.
Look, right? where I am, looks like I'm in the Bahamas.
here's my message to you. Cheetos are fun. What does that mean? I'm not quite sure.
Mike, I feel like since I know John so well, I should be the one like watching what he's saying so I can decipher what he really means when he says that his captors are treating him well.
We agree. Many years ago, we sought out careers in radio.
Yeah, remember I don't know how radio? This happened.
We right. sought out careers in radio, and then we found our way through. And now, all of a sudden, we're doing radio and some form of television.
Why is that?
I don't know. So, of course, we're on Facebook right now, and I don't know what happened. I'm in this spare room where we've got this studio set up, and it looked fine. All of a sudden, it looked like I'm on, you know, like I am. I'm broadcasting somewhere in a dungeon somewhere in Albania. Yeah. I don't know what this story is. So if you're looking at me there, just give me a wave.
All right. So when you say that you are safe and they're treating you well, you mean it?
I am, right. And I'm looking to my dinner tonight, okay. A bowl of noodles and gruel. Okay. It's fine. I don't know.
Oh, gosh.
Anyway. Okay. Pity the poor. Well, I guess. I don't know if you should or not. The most galling, captivating character on the screen this summer.
Okay, wait a minute.
Yes.
Am I supposed to guess the most galling, captivating character on the screen?
Yes, on any screens.
Rob Manfred.
No.
Major League Baseball,
That's a close second. Apparently, the summer of Karen.
Oh, Karen.
Karen, right?
Karen.
Karen apparently is everywhere. Now, this is a fairly new phenomenon,
is
it not?
This is annoying. This is a phenomenon that I think is really, it speaks perfectly to the era in which we currently live and how
right.
we think.
Okay.
Tell us who Karen is, John.
Karen is the every woman, the woman who sticks her nose into your business, whether you want it or not. And now with the advent, of course, the cell phone, Karen and her nosiness, her self-righteousness, in many ways, people would say her supremacy, is being outed for such faults, such character faults. So I think we've seen it. When did the first Karen come to light?
The first Karen I remember was the woman in Central Park.
Oh, right.
You know, with the dog.
The dog and the bird watcher.
The right? bird watcher, right.
Right, where a black man who was a professional in New York City came upon a field which is known, you know, for bird watching, but also overtaken by people taking their dogs off leashes. And so the guy said, excuse me, could you please leash your dog? And then it escalated all of a sudden into a black man is threatening me or something like that.
Right, and I'm going to call the police and tell them a black man's threatening me.
Right. And so the woman was outed. You know, she was stupid, right? She was racist.
And unkind.
Yes. And she did really try to suck some poor innocent guy into some racial confrontation. So she was dubbed a Karen. Now, Karen has become sort of generic for that, you know, nebby, that person who just shouldn't be speaking out. Now, since that time, that first Karen, there's been, man, almost, there's probably a Karen a day, at least a Karen a day. Over the weekend, there was Karen and the new one, Karen and Ken. And Karen and Ken are attorneys in a very posh suburb of St. Louis, and they were defending their home against an onslaught of protesters who broke down a gate in a gated community. And all of a sudden, there's this attorney standing out there in front of his house that looks like something out of Versailles, and he's wearing a pink polo shirt and a pair of khakis and some very nice Gucci slip-ons, and he's also holding a very large gun, and his wife is holding a pistol. I mean, holy smokes. I saw both Karen and Ken last night on, was it CNN, I believe, where they ate the Cuomo guy alive, basically, and told him to get his facts straight and to learn a little slice of law. Now, apparently there's a Karen. I saw a Karen video today where a white woman is trying to get her neighbors who are black. She goes over to their house and says, I know that you're building a patio, but you need a permit. And they're like, we checked with our contractor. We don't need a permit. And so it escalates quickly. And of course, this, the video camera, is in the middle of it all. I mean, it's changed people's lives. You could say it's ruined people's lives. Karen.
You know why I hate Karen? And I don't mean I hate the person.
The individuals.
I mean, I hate the characterization. I really, really hate it because it just gives us another possible repository for all of our hatred and sin. So we can say, we're not like that, right? All the sin, all the hatred is in her.
Right.
Karen, it's not in me.
I would never do that.
So if I point that out in her, boy, that makes me feel better about me. I really like it. I mean, I've talked on the air for, I don't know how many years, 9 years about cycles of outrage where we go through these on a, you know, monthly basis, sometimes yearly basis, where we're, our American culture spontaneously decides who we're going to give all of our hate to and all of our disdain. And we're just going to call them out all the time, whether it's, I don't know, Mark McGuire or Ray Rice or the Duggars or Jared from Subway or Donald Trump or Ryan Lochte or Antonio Brown or you name it. Karen's just the latest on the list.
It surely is. Yeah. I mean, it is fascinating. Again, this thing shows how people are subjected to people who should just mind their own business.
Right? I get that. I hope no one's hearing me and saying that I think that Karens are great people.
No,
I'm just saying I hate the fact that we can just label somebody something. I mean, the whole reason why racism has become what it has become in America is that we are sinful people. We're selfish people and we label other people as something and then we treat them badly.
Right.
So basically now we're doing the same thing with Karen. I mean, it's a sickening display of human nature.
Yeah, it truly is. Okay, so, you know, I'm sure we'll hear much more about Karen and Ken as time goes on. All right.
Whatever.
What we need is someone who is smart and wise. We need that combination together, and we have that coming up with us next in the guise of Jerry Boyer. Jerry Boyer is the editor of Town Hall Finance. He's a local fixture here as well, and at one point sat in these very chairs, although not in these spare rooms that Kath and I have. Jerry Boyer is with us in just a few minutes. Stick around. The Ride Home with John and Kathy here on 101.5 Word FM.
ORD. Pittsburgh's favorite Christian music is here on the weekend.
With the best new music.
New
music. New music from Courtney Ramirez, Who We Are.
That's truly who we are.
Your Love Feels Like Home by Johnny Diaz.
Your love feels like home.
And Josh Wilson with Revolutionary.
God help us get revolutionary.
The best new music and Pittsburgh's favorites.
Brought to you by Trinity Jewelers and Dennis Spira and Associates.
101.5 WORD on the weekend.
We're all thinking a lot more about staying safe these days. Windows R Us Pittsburgh is no different. When it comes to working around your home, Windows R Us remains committed to the safety of you and your family. For roofs, gutters, and downspouts, siding, and of course, windows, Windows R Us Pittsburgh can answer the call. With over 50 years of home remodeling experience, Windows R Us has earned its reputation as the area's premier exterior replacement company. And all work will be done in strict compliance with the government's social distancing guidelines. If you've had damage, you may be eligible for free repair or replacement. Visit WindowsRUsPittsburgh.com for a free inspection from one of the highly trained appraisers. You'll love their no-pressure approach, no hidden fees, and one of the fastest turnaround times in the industry from a company that will never skip town when it comes to honoring their warranty. Why pay double? Trust the area's premier exterior replacement company, WindowsRUsPittsburgh.com. That's WindowsRUsPittsburgh.com.
Seasons of change and uncertainty can be difficult, even scary, but they don't have to control or define you. The counselors of the Grace Wellness Center would consider it a privilege to come alongside and help you replace the fear and frustration with freedom and peace. While office visits are still available throughout the area, Grace Wellness Center also offers online and phone appointments to make counseling convenient and available on your terms, accepting all major insurances at thegracewellnesscenter.com.
First Presbyterian Church is a beacon of light and love to this community.
The message that I hear sustains me for the whole week.
I love this church because of the diversity and the music and the people.
The incredible beauty of the space.
A warm, welcoming congregation.
The people are amazing and truly love one another and Christ, and our pastor preaches the gospel.
I want everybody in Pittsburgh to come and experience
First Presbyterian Church of Pittsburgh in the heart of the city with the city in its heart.
When the earth stands between you and a finished project, you need E&K Excavation. Whether you have to dig it, grade it, drain it, prep it, stabilize it, shape it, clear it, or dispose of it, E&K Excavation has over 100 years of combined experience and a fleet of heavy equipment to help you bend it to your will. They can handle any size project for your home or business, providing quality results on time and on budget. For a free quote, visit ekexcavation.com. They'll move the earth for you at ekexcavation.com.
She's 9 years old with curly brown hair. She watches out her window, just waiting for a family to love her. Maybe you're the one called to adopt her, or maybe you aren't. Maybe you're the one called to help the family who does. Adopting is a tough time of transition and sometimes trauma, but there are ways you can help. Do yard work, cook some meals, or help around the house. Offer mom and dad a date night. Maybe you can be a mentor or friend to the newly adopted child. Just some ideas to get you started. Maybe you aren't called to adopt, but you can help those who do. Pray and see what God shows you. You could be part of adoption in a whole new way. Go to iCareAboutOrphans.org for more ideas. iCareAboutOrphans.org. A message from Focus on the Family.
When it comes to corporate activism, we think, okay, so is that the activism of people who work for corporations, the people who run corporations, or the people who vote at shareholder meetings? Well, it's an interesting topic and one that the president himself has been weighing in on lately. To talk about that and much more, our good friend Jerry Boyer is with us. Jerry is the editor of Town Hall Finance. Jerry, welcome back.
Thanks, Kathy. How you doing?
Good. Always good to hear from you, Jer.
Always good, Jer. Hey, Jer. Okay. So, of course, you're no stranger to this. When COVID-19 started to hit and, of course, George Floyd protests started to take place, I think all of us, we started to get messages from corporate America in our inbox making statements about where we are in America. To me, this was a weird thing, but it feels as though it's becoming increasingly normal to all of a sudden have corporate America act as though corporate activists.
Yes. So in that case, the corporations would be the activists, like corporations are acting as social activists. Now, why are they doing that? Well, partly they're doing it because they're being poked by, you know, by political activists. And so they're afraid They don't want to be tagged as evil in some way. In this case, the accusation would be that they're racist, or they don't want to be tagged as bad for the environment or intolerant of gay people or whatever the issue is that's being pushed. So it's really interesting. I mean, these companies are gigantic. They're huge, right? We're talking about trillion-dollar companies in many cases. And it's almost like a bull that's led around by the nose, by a little nose ring that's pulled by a child, in the sense that the people who are driving the agenda are not large groups of people. There are not a lot of people who are, say, into the philosophy of Black Lives Matter, the organization. There are a lot of people who believe Black Lives Matter. Absolutely. I would hope everyone does. I would think the majority of people do. But BLM has a certain ideological agenda. There are not a lot of people who believe that we need to shut down all use of fossil fuels because it would send us back to the Stone Age. But we have companies saying we're going to stop using fossil fuels. There aren't a lot of people who are lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, or queer. Not a lot of trans people. And yet we have companies basically being kind of pulled around the say, open up their bathrooms to someone of the other gender. And so what is it? How is it that such small groups of people are able to sort of jerk around these giant companies? And I would suggest it's because they show up and the rest of us don't. And that's the thing that I'm trying to reverse, which is to get in particular Christians, people who are grounded in the Bible, to begin to take seriously the fact that we've got 401ks or 403bs or IRAs, whatever your deal is. You've got your retirement account, and in there are stocks, and those are shares of stocks, and that makes you the owner, and that makes you the boss. So start bossing a little bit. Start actually using the authority that you already have, rather than essentially completely ceding that ground and letting pretty extreme voices essentially dominate the corporate discussion.
Yeah. Fabulous. Okay, so then we do have voices, right? If we have money invested in the market, there's an opportunity for to speak up as well, especially to espouse and speak about our Christian worldview. Now, Jerry, in a piece that you wrote, you're talking about the Trump administration from the other side of the aisle going after corporations as well, right?
Yeah, and they're doing a couple of things. One, they're saying if you're a social media company, you're an internet company, you were under a set of rules. And those set of rules were, hey, you're just a soapbox. So if somebody stands up on a soapbox and says something really stupid, someone stands up on a soapbox and says, smoking is just terrific for your lungs, and it turns out that's not true and you know it wasn't true, you can sue them, right? But you can't sue the soapbox. You know, the soapbox was just stood upon, right? If somebody calls you and gives you bad advice, you can sue them, perhaps, but you can't sue the phone company. They're just a carrier. They're neutral. So early on, internet companies, internet service providers, were treated as neutral. They're just the air. They're just the ether through which the message flows. They're not part of the message. It's not like a newspaper where you pick and choose articles. Newspapers are responsible for what they publish, but Facebook and Twitter were considered not really responsible for what they publish. The problem is they start coming in and they put their thumb on the scale. They pick and choose based on whether they like the message or not. They might say it's about safety or whatever, or fact check, but they fact check in a biased way, which means they have an editorial point of view, which means that they really aren't just a soapbox. They're making choices. They have an editorial stance. They're now communicators. They're now publishers, in which case, why should they be under this special protection from lawsuits that other publishers who take a point of view are not? And the Trump administration wants to reverse that and say, listen, if you side with one over another and you delist someone because he's a conservative, or you, a great example would be Dennis Prager. He was punished on YouTube, and it basically marked in a way that says unsafe for children and harder to monetize, right? That there was a sanctioning of one of Dennis Prager's YouTube videos. Well, what was it? Well, violent content. Okay. You want to know what the violent, he asked, what's the violent content? And they said, you talk about murder in the video. The video was about the Ten Commandments. And so one of the commandments is thou shalt not murder. And he read that commandment and described what it meant. It certainly was not a violent video game. It wasn't, gory or anything like that. It's just, yes, the Ten Commandments mention murder. So reading the Ten Commandments on YouTube gets punished as inappropriate content for children because it has violent content. Now, come on, everybody knows that what was going on there, right? The president said some stupid things. I'm sorry, I know people love. He said some things that I thought were kind of foolish about sending troops into cities, which, you know, I don't think he can legally do. And they said he's advocating violence. Well, first of all, he's the president. President actually has legal authority to use violence. I mean, that's the definition of the state. It's the one institution that we allow to use violence. They censored him. But you've got, you know, one of the kings of Saudi Arabia saying everyone should join us in trying to eradicate the state of Israel. Nothing there. So they have a point of view. And if they have a point of view, then the Justice Department is arguing they can be sued for content because they're no longer a neutral carrier, but they are, in fact, a publisher.
Right. And look, Jerry, people are listening to this and they're thinking, well, that Dennis Prager story can't be real. I mean, YouTube isn't doing that. Because you'd think that is so far beyond the bounds of common sense that, you know, clearly you're spreading some conspiracy theory.
Yeah, I know. But the thing is, I've seen the documentation itself. I've seen the message. Yeah. But I've even had my own experience, you know, talking to some of these corporations where I've talked to corporations and also to these proxy services, which help the corporations do these issues. And I said, where are you on diversity? And they said, oh, diversity. We're all over diversity, racial diversity, sexual diversity, gender identity diversity. And I said, what about viewpoint diversity? Well, we're not for that. Well, why not? Well, because we already have diversity. Yes, you have gender and sex and race diversity, but you don't have viewpoint diversity. Well, why would we have that? Well, for the same reason that you have all the other diversities, because you say diversity is good. Well, you know, start over. Why is diversity good? Well, it's good to have people from different points of view because they think differently. Ah, yes, 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 exactly, because they think differently. So why not have something in the human resources statement or the board that says we are going to actively seek people who think differently? Why would we want that? It's like they're playing dumb intentionally. That's ideological. So if I haven't seen it myself, if I hadn't actually seen proxies where everything, every word is exactly the same as something they already passed, except instead of gender, we say viewpoint. Just do a search and replace on gender and put in, or race and put in viewpoint, and have them say, this is inappropriate for a board vote. This is not a board matter. Get it thrown off the ballot. And when it is exactly the same, then I wouldn't have believed it myself. But the ideological blindness is a form of blindness. But I'm not mad at them. I'm mad at us because we haven't done anything about it.
That brings me to a story, Jerry. And this is going to sound familiar to you, I'm sure. But my mom and dad met at the H.J. Heinz Company. They both worked there. And my dad worked there, I think when he retired, he'd been there 48 years almost. So his entire career was at the H.J. Heinz Company. My aunt and uncle also both at the H.J. Heinz Company. So we're like heavy duty into the whole ketchup franchise, right? When it was time for the shareholders meeting every year, everybody I knew went. I mean, it was a big deal and they paid attention and they knew what was going on. And I have to tell you, I haven't been to a shareholders meeting since I went with my parents probably when I was 25 years old. Of course, there isn't an H.J. Heinz Company as there was before. So I'm not saying that I'm speaking in specific about that company. I'm just saying that there was a time when we were more committed to the company. Now, for them, it wasn't just an investment, though they were personally invested in it, but it was also their employer. But I just feel like there was more, I don't know if it was more attention, Jerry, or there was more time, or I don't know what it was, but people are not willing to put that same effort in now.
Yeah, and I think it's more the case as with your parents, where they're employees and, you know, unions will tend to show up, people who have a stake, even suppliers. And a lot of times employees show up because there's some kind of stock matching program. So for every for every dollar they put into their 401(b), then H.J. Heinz will put in a dollar of H.J. Heinz stock, et cetera. So they become shareholders. But what about everything else that's in your 401k plan, right? I mean, people, if you're in any of the big indices, you probably own, own Twitter. You probably own Facebook. You probably own Amazon. Amazon made a move not too long ago where they have something called the Smile program, which is if you're an Amazon customer, you can push a little button and they can say, what's your favorite charity? Oh, I like, whatever you like. I like Salvation Army, et cetera. And then they'll send, every time you buy something, they'll send a little money there. Well, too bad if you like James Dobson and Family Research Council or American Alliance Defending Freedom, which defends people who don't want to bake cakes for gay weddings or supports religious freedom, because they were labeled a hate group and Amazon dropped them. And so customers can't choose them anymore. Mm. Well, if you own Amazon stock, that's your company that did that. And we just don't connect it. We are to the point where we know, like, let's say Governor Wolf does something we don't really like, right? Or our senator or even the president. We know that we can go out there and cast a vote. I don't think we know that we can go out there and cast a vote when it comes to these companies. We're not aware of it. If you own these companies, they might just send you paperwork and you just throw it away on these proxy statements. Or more likely, it goes to your financial advisor who throws it away. Or even worse, the financial advisor uses one of the two proxy advisory services, which, hey, we'll take care of all that for you, and uniformly votes politically only in one direction. Never, ever. I've talked for hours with these people. They don't know a conservative. They don't have any conservatives. They haven't heard these arguments. They don't know these arguments existed. It takes like 20 times to even explain it to them because no one has ever even talked to them about this stuff. Again, I don't blame them. I blame us. So we delegate to somebody. I mean, imagine if you just delegated your vote. You just say, okay, I'm in the union. Union will vote for me. Right. Or I'm in such and such company. I worked for USX. I'll just tick something that says they can vote for me in the next senatorial election. We would never delegate that to our employer or our union or a social club or anything else. But we delegate our voting on these things. And no wonder that a tiny fragment of a percent of Americans ends up completely dominating the discussion.
Jerry Boyer is with us, editor of Town Hall Finance. So then, Jerry, there is a way then. We as Christians have a voice. We just need to get our act organized. But it starts with us just doing the right thing and making sure we take the proxy vote.
It does. In the early 1980s, I was driving around with a friend in Pittsburgh dropping off registration forms at churches, saying to Christians, you can vote. Well, we don't know who to vote for. Then we started driving around and dropping off voter guides. Here's who, because I don't know what my congressman thinks about abortion or whatever. So we just need to do the same thing as shareholder citizens. We just need to wake up and do that because we definitely have the authority. We don't know we have it. We don't. It's just we're not used to thinking in those terms. And we also don't know when there's an issue that's important. So you need resources that say, oh, by the way, this week Twitter's going to have a vote on whether they're going to protect diversity for employees. Because remember, it wasn't so long ago that Google did a thing where they said, we need to talk more about diversity. We want to talk about gender diversity. Why is it that there are so few women, positions of Google who are managers in coding? We want to hear from you. And a guy named James Damore, a very research-oriented guy, went out and read a whole bunch of papers and did a whole bunch of social science research. And he came forward and he said, there's a fair amount of evidence that women do not take to coding as easily as men. Not that we should give up, but maybe we should have some extra, we should take that into account and make some changes and make it easier and, do what we can to deal with that reality. And maybe, by the way, we should get rid of this political monoculture where everyone at Google has to think the same way. And they're afraid to speak up. And that would probably help. You know what happened? A paper that he was asked to write was leaked, privately leaked. The mob came after him and he got fired. Now, that's not just a misuse of authority. It's not just unjust to him. It's not just unjust in general, but it's unjust to Google shareholders because basically what it does is it says, you may think you own this company, but this is our own private sandbox, and we can fire a good coder just because we don't like his politics, even though that's bad management, and we can do it with your money.
Fine. That's a good point. That's Jerry Boyer. Jerry's the editor of Town Hall Finance. Jerry, we need to take a break. When we come back, though, we're going to talk to Jerry about whether Christians and conservatives, I guess more specifically, have invested too much attention in the judicial branch of the U.S. government. That's next on the Wednesday edition of The Ride Home.
Yeah. These are very dark and unusual times that we are going through right now. And I wonder about the world and those who don't know Christ in their lives, what they're thinking about. Because as difficult as things are, at least if you love Jesus, you know that in the end, you'll be with Jesus and everything will be okay. Now, all that to say, especially if you've got a young son or daughter, those precepts, those biblical precepts of leadership must be instilled from an early age. That's why both Kath and I are thrilled that our children attend Grove City College. Kath?
Yeah, if there ever was a time, John, when we need good leaders, man, this is one of those times. Amen. You know, you just look at the acerbic nature of how people communicate online, and you look at how dysfunctional our national government is, not to mention state or local government, and you think, gosh, we really need to be training young people to think logically, to act with heart, to look outward to the world with compassion and understanding, grace and truth. That's what a leader is all about. And it doesn't happen by accident, John.
Amen to that. We need to look at the world, whether it's politics, science, art, or economics, through a strong Christian lens. I would say if you've got a young son or daughter and they're looking at their next step in education, you definitely should look at Grove City College online, gcc.edu.
Finding the right type of care for your loved one can be a highly emotional decision. Moving your loved one to a nursing home, rehab center, or independent care may not be necessary. XL Home Care can provide a warm, family-like environment with an XL caregiver, or you may even qualify to get paid to take care of the ones you love. To learn more, call 412-212-8950, 412-212-8950, Excel Home Care, a help at home company.
Do you or your business have financial problems? Are you overwhelmed with debt? Then call me, attorney Dennis Spira, at 412-471-7675. My legal practice concentrates on bankruptcy law, debtor rights, and tax matters. I have over 30 years' experience as a former United States Department of Justice bankruptcy attorney and lawyer in private practice. I have represented thousands of cases faced with financial problems and lawsuits. Reorganize and get a fresh start. Call 412-471-7675 or visit my website at DennisSpira.com.
I was a little bit surprised but so happy to see how eager patients were to return to the office, and their loyalty and their friendship means everything to us.
Exceptional dentistry meets compassionate care at StockFamilyDentistry.com.
Ask Alexa to play the word Pittsburgh to hear us there. We're on your Google speaker too, plus iHeart, TuneIn, and on radio.com. 101.5 WORDFM Pittsburgh.
Clear tonight, low 63, mostly sunny for Thursday, high 88. Thursday night, clear, low 65, partly sunny, hot on Friday, high 93. Saturday, partly sunny, humid with a shower or thunderstorm, mainly later in the day, high 89. Partly sunny on Sunday, high 89. With your AccuWeather forecast, I'm Andy Robb.
Jerry Boyer is with us. Jerry's editor of Town Hall Finance. Jerry, for many years we've heard this. Hey, one of these days we're going to make that Supreme Court so conservative that everything that comes down the pike, all conservatives will rejoice. And
We're going to get back to the Constitution. We're going to get rid of Roe versus Wade, and it's going to be a glorious conservative future if we only vote for the right political candidate in the presidency. Jerry, it hasn't worked out.
It has not.
No, it hasn't. And you're right. It's not just about the judiciary, right? It's the whole proposition has been, hey, Christians, get out the vote. This is the most important election of our lifetimes, every 4 years. This is the most important election of our lifetimes. Get out the vote. Tell other people to get out the vote, because the president can appoint Supreme Court justices. And yeah, maybe this president isn't so great, or that president isn't so great, but you know, where they stand on the judiciary matters, because we're only two votes away on Roe versus Wade, or we're only one vote away on Roe versus Wade. And so hold your nose and vote, and then it'll all be okay, because you know, we'll have a Republican president and we'll have a Republican Senate, and then we'll get, you know, a John Roberts, or we'll get a Gorsuch, you know, we'll get fill in the blanks. So we're going to get Judge Souter, et cetera. So we're going to get these conservative judges, and then we'll reverse Wade. And we've been talking that way since the early 1980s. And this past week, Roe versus Wade came up before the court. John Roberts, Chief Justice, a Bush appointee, went with the pro Roe versus Wade voices. And by one, we failed to change it. I'm not even talking about a complete reversal. It was the precedent and it was upheld. And maybe at some point we say, sure, yeah, we should vote. Yeah, we should vote for the pro-life candidates. But let's be a little bit more realistic stop with all the promises about how we're just about to do it, because that's the way you do that to get people to give money, or you do that to get people to vote. It's like motivational language. It's not, if it's a promise, it's a promise been broken many times before. Maybe acknowledge that the secular conservative Republican establishment maybe doesn't have what it takes in terms of really inculcating in people the right worldview. So we have people who pass the conservative test, but they aren't really conservatives. Gorsuch's argument about applying the Civil Rights Act to gender issue and trans is not conservative. His argument, it was conservative sounding argument. It is, well, it says there should be no discrimination based on sex. That's what we said in 1964. And the meaning of the word sex has changed. Sex used to be, you know, what the plumbing was. Now, sex is what you identify as. So I'm just applying the language. You know, I can't help it if the words change meaning, maybe even reverse themselves. So that is sex now. When we say sex, we mean, sex identity, which, no, we don't. A few people do, but no, we don't. Well, I think there's something there where if you have somebody who's really grounded in a Christian worldview, who really, fears God, is really concerned about the direction of our future and maybe not how they'll be viewed by historians and by the press, who is really more philosophically grounded. You know, I hate to bring a commercial. You guys just did a Grove City commercial, yes. Right?
Yeah.
Right.
You know, if somebody was a Grove City grad, rather than they went to Georgetown Prep and then they went to Yale and then they went to Harvard and then they went to the Federalist Society, but if somebody was really of us, if somebody were really from the places that the people who vote for them, you know, send their kids and are really grounded in a worldview, you know, I think it's a whole lot less that we would see this sudden evolution in office as they become after they become judges.
So how do you, how do you go about this, Jerry? Because apparently, as you vet Supreme Court justices to move forward, they're looking at people with under a microscope.
A fool's errand. That's been proven 1,000 times. You cannot predict. People are not machines, and you cannot predict how people are going to vote. What do you say, Jerry?
I say you can't predict how people are going to vote, but I think you can improve your odds a little bit. So I, for one, as a conservative Christian, would really like us to start fishing in different pools. I'm getting a little tired of the Republican establishment saying, hey, Baptists, evangelicals, thanks very much for the vote. Now we're going to go to Ivy League world. We're going to go to somebody,
So you're saying that the decision makers say evangelicals, regular people in America, thanks for your vote. But when we pick our guy, he has to come from Harvard, Yale, or Princeton, or we're not going to waste the time.
Yes, and almost always has to come from a family that's a Harvard, Yale, Princeton ruling class family that made its peace. So it's they're like kind of the loyal opposition. So, you see the same story over and over again. Mm-hmm. They go to the same prep schools. They winter in the same places. You know, they're in the same clubs. They go to the same Ivy League universities. And then they have a polite conversation over their Chablis about abortion. They're... Mm-hmm. They're not coming from the same place. There is a culture. There is a community of people who are born and bred on the sanctity of life and in a biblical worldview. And maybe we need to stop saying, who is it out there who's in the Ivy League world, who's from the ruling class, but they say they agree with us? Because frankly, that's a pretty good career move. Right. To say you agree. And then once you're on the court, then you kind of move to the center. and become mushy. I think we ought to insist on people who are really known to us, not people that they're saying, well, trust us.
Right.
You know,
but that pool is tiny, Jerry, because I mean that ruling class that, you know, Princeton and Ivy League, there's nobody there from a key sport who is stepping forward as part of that pool.
Yeah, and there's nobody who's a Baptist. You know, I'm not a Baptist, so it's not like I'm saying, hey, I want a Baptist like me, but you know, I'm going to trust a Baptist. I'm an Episcopalian, okay? But I'm going to trust a Baptist more than an Episcopalian. Or maybe if they go to one of those Episcopalian churches that's really conservative, right? And, you know, is kind of there in the midst of things. But, you know, that's not what we have. These people come from institutions that the voting base doesn't come from. I'm serious. What about a Grove City grad or a Hillsdale grad?
Listen, Jerry, I'm totally behind you on this. But here's the thing: our obsession, and by our I mean conservatives' obsessions with the Supreme Court, has been a fool's errand to me for a long time. And so I feel like the problem is not just finding better people to pick, but we need to focus, in my mind, more on legislators than on judges. I mean, I just feel like that Congress has become just a whole mass of people that don't do anything. And so maybe out of desperation, or maybe just because we have bad strategy, or because we think we're smarter than we are, we've decided to put all our eggs in the basket of the judiciary.
Need term limits.
Absolutely. I agree with that. So nothing I'm saying is contrary to that. All I'm saying is, to the degree that we're dealing with the judiciary, you know, like, you know, Amy Barrett, remember her, right?
Yeah, Amy Coney Barrett.
The dogma
lives loudly within her, Jerry.
Exactly. Why wasn't she put forward? One of the reasons was because she's pretty religious and people would make fun of it and it's weird. Give me somebody who's religious enough that people think it's weird, because I'm tired of people who aren't religious enough to seem weird enough that the Democrats vote for them. And then, you know what? They go in there and they say Roe versus Wade is settled law. I'm a conservative, and it's conservative to uphold a tradition that had no constitutional basis whatsoever. And now I'm going to go down through history as an institutionalist who kept the court from falling to the extremists. I'm sorry. I think we need a little more weird in the nominees. And you know what? The left is going to vote against us no matter who we put forward. So they froth a little more. That's up to them. But yes, we need to take it. The legislature needs to deal with it. For instance, I mean, how many people know that the Constitution actually gives the Congress the authority to limit the jurisdiction of the Supreme Court? I mean, it's in there in the text of the Constitution. They've never done it. But the United States Congress can determine that certain areas are outside of the jurisdiction of the court. The United States
Jerry,
Congress.
Jerry, I'm sorry, I got to close you down just for time reasons. We got to get to a break. Jerry Boyer with us, editor of Town Hall Finance. And by the way, I never knew that, what Jerry just said, but I never knew that. We'll talk about that more when we come back.
WORD. Hi, I'm Robert Jeffers, pastor of First Baptist Church in Dallas, and I want to invite you to join me and our special guest, Vice President Mike Pence. Join us for a patriotic celebration with worship led by the world-renowned First Dallas Choir and Orchestra, fireworks, and more as we celebrate our freedom as Americans and our freedom in Christ.
Celebrate freedom with Robert Jeffress, Friday at 4 on 101.5 WORD.
Did you buy into the timeshare lies?
I can tell you that I had a 4-year experience with a timeshare corporation who did nothing but lie to me.
That swapping locations was easy?
They made this sound that this would be a really good deal, that I could go anywhere, anytime I wanted to. That never worked out.
Timeshare lies. Thousands of timeshare owners know the feeling. I'm Chuck McDowell, founder of Wesley Financial Group. 10 years ago, I worked for the largest timeshare company in the world. When I learned the truth about what they were selling, I quit my job and instead became the pioneer in helping folks get out of their timeshare contracts legally. I understand that trusting anyone after buying a timeshare is a difficult task. That's why I guarantee if we can't cancel your timeshare contract, you'll pay nothing.
For a free information kit on how to cancel your timeshare, call Wesley Financial Group now. 800-605-5757. 800-605-5757. 800-605-5757.
Thinking about life insurance?
What if you could make one free phone call and learn your best price from nearly a dozen highly rated price competitive companies? Well, that's exactly what happens when you call SelectQuote Life. For example, George is 40. He was getting sky-high quotes from other companies because he takes meds to control his blood pressure. But when I shopped around, I found him a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $25 a month. I'm SelectQuote agent Dan Savino. And believe me, if SelectQuote isn't shopping for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 800-494-2323. That's 800-494-2323. 800-494-2323. Or go to SelectQuote.com. Since 1985, we shop, you save.
Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
Jay Farner here, CEO of Rocket Mortgage. Making the right financial decisions has never been more important. When you turn to Rocket Mortgage, we can help guide you to those right decisions now, when they matter most. Mortgage rates are near historic lows, so now is a great time to call 8338-ROCKET. And if you need some extra money, a cash-out refinance could give you that financial boost you're looking for. Call today at 8338-ROCKET or go to rocketmortgage.com to learn more.
Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. And MLS number 3030.
Jerry Boyer with us, editor of Town Hall Finance, his monthly slot on our show, for which we are always grateful. Jerry, now tell me, what is this crazy thing you're telling me? That in the Constitution, there is a provision that the legislature is allowed to censure the judiciary?
No, not censure. I mean, they can censure, but that's not what I'm talking about. You can always censure a judge and you can remove judges. But no, but they actually have the ability to limit their jurisdiction. They determine the jurisdiction of the court. Never been used. I can send you the language if you want. I can email it over to you.
Yeah, what does that mean?
They can say
censure their jurisdiction. Or to establish their jurisdiction.
Censure.
What does that mean?
They can do is they can say there are certain subjects that you don't have jurisdiction over. Now, there is a list of things that they can't do that to. So there are certain things like lawsuits between states, wherever. So there's a list of two or three items that that the Supreme Court automatically has jurisdiction over. So like suing the federal government or something like that. But apart from that short list, I think there's also something with ambassadors. But apart from that short list, Congress can say something like reproductive choice is not one of your areas of jurisdiction any longer, and that's it. It isn't. They could set up a different court to deal with it. I don't think people realize the Congress created the Supreme Court. We do have Supreme Court mentioned in the Constitution, but all the details are congressional. So in some sense, the court is under the Congress constitutionally. Yes, we have a separation of power, but they're not all equal. The founders generally thought that Congress is the ultimate branch and should have the most authority. So, for instance, they can approve appointees or not. The president can't choose all his own appointees. It has to go. He needs the advice and consent of the Senate. And they set the jurisdiction of the court, how many members, terms, and other things. So Congress actually has a great deal of authority over this issue that they never use.
Now, of course, the purpose in that initially was the fact that the legislature is held accountable by the people. Right now. So if us, you know, there, as you've always said, if I as the boss, since I'm the voter, don't hold the person I have voted for who represents me accountable, then the system has broken down already.
Yes. And we don't. And it is.
Mm-hmm. How do we fix it, Jerry?
We take responsibility. We bear the responsibility that we have as Christians in the world. A whole lot less griping would be really helpful. And take some of that energy and put it into things which are constructive. You know, Romans 8 says that the creation groans and travails, awaiting the revelation of the sons of God. Now, I'm not saying that they're waiting for us to vote, although that's part of it. That is part of what it is to be a son of God, mm-hmm. a child of God. Son, don't get caught up on gender. Son in the Bible means heir. Doesn't mean men and women are sons of God to the degree that they're heirs. Just like bride, you know, I'm a man, but I'm part of the bride of Christ. So these are functions. These are roles biblically. We're supposed to be sons. What does it mean to be a son of God? It means to bear the burden of exercising responsibility so that you can inherit what God has for you. And what God has for us is for us to exercise dominion over the earth, for us to be the governors of the earth, to rule in his name, in his stead, the way he would. And that means taking responsibility for the things that are in your life. And so it means vote. It means voting proxies. It means talking to people in your life. Like, if there's something going on that's not right, you speak up. You don't speak up in a toxic way, but you don't be afraid to have people hate you or make fun of you. You're willing. Now, don't give them a reason to hate you or make fun of you other than the fact that you're sure. standing up for God. Don't make you the problem. You know, it's not blessed when men shall revile you and hate you and say all manner of evil things against you falsely because you act like a jerk. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad. It's when that happens for my sake. So it means being willing to, you know, stand up to the culture. It means being able to speak the truth. It means being distinctive as a Christian, not getting completely sucked into your political alignment, which for most of us is conservative republicanism. So it means we don't get sucked into that, so that whatever Trump says is good and whatever his enemies say is bad. It means having Jesus as our Lord. And maybe Trump or whoever is just another one of his servants who sometimes measures up and sometimes doesn't. And it means being responsible. And it means being informed. It means being grounded yourself and helping to ground other people. And it means being willing to take the slings and arrows that come from that.
Very good.
That's Jerry Boyer, editor of Town Hall Finance. I don't know, Jerry. This all sounds like we're going to have to take more responsibility and complain a lot less.
Oh, man, we'll take that. Jerry, always a pleasure. Thank you for your intelligence, your wisdom, your humor, all those things, for being a friend of our show. We greatly appreciate your time here with us.
And for yours. God bless you both.
Jerry Boyer, you can find him easily online on Facebook, where he posts regularly. Look at Town Hall Finance as well. Jerry Boyer, B-O-W-Y-E-R.
When the earth stands between you and a finished project, you need E&K Excavation. Whether you have to dig it, grade it, drain it, prep it, stabilize it, shape it, clear it, or dispose of it, E&K Excavation has over 100 years of combined experience and a fleet of heavy equipment to help you bend it to your will. They can handle any size project for your home or business, providing quality results on time and on budget. For a free quote, visit ekexcavation.com. They'll move the earth for you at ekexcavation.com.
So this is a true story. Quarantine 2020. My buddy is trying to convince his 8-year-old daughter to finish her spelling in the midst of their homeschooling. She's begging to go outside and play. So she says with confidence, "Dad, hello, H-E-L-O. I've got spelling down." What I took from the story was, teachers are crazy awesome. They're just built with some advantages that allow them to educate our kids in awesome ways. At our Faith and Family Mortgage team, we're blessed with a pretty special advantage in our world. Our team is lucky to be an arm of a bigger company that is a direct lender, which means our company gets to use its own money and make its own decisions within its own walls, an advantage that often allows us to get you a better rate, saving you monthly and lifelong money on a refinance or new home purchase. We are United Faith Mortgage.
We pay your appraisal fees, up to $500.
United Mortgage Corp, Melville, New York. MLS number 1330. Department of Banking. Mortgage lender license number 22672.
Hi, my name is Ryan Bourne.
And I'm Danica Bourne.
And we're the owners of South Coast Tax. We would like to thank our Lord for protecting us from evil. Psalm 91 states, "He is my refuge and my fortress, for he will rescue us from every trap and protect us from deadly disease."
South Coast Tax are Christian-based tax accountants and attorneys who specialize in releasing bank levies, wage garnishments, and filing complex tax returns. We are the leaders in acceptance of offers and compromise with awesome results.
We are also a small firm who will treat you like family and not just a number.
Call us today at 1-800-TAX-1176 for a free consultation, and we'll take the time to explain all of the programs that you qualify for in order to allow you a fresh start.
In John 8:36, "So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." And one way we can achieve that is by being debt-free. So let us help you today. Call us at 1-800-TAX-1176, and together we can help achieve this goal by putting the IRS tax debt behind you for good. Again, that number is 1-800-TAX-1176.
For victims of drunk and drug driving, our grief is unique. But you are not alone. You always have a place at MAD. Call our 24-hour victim helpline at 877-MAD-HELP or visit MAD.org.
We are welcoming patients back, and we're happy to do so. Although we can't give the normal hugs or handshakes that they might be used to, the same exceptional dentistry, the same compassionate care is still there.
Exceptional dentistry meets compassionate care at StockFamilyDentistry.com.
I'm sure you've heard the news by now that comic genius, and those words are not used lightly, Carl Reiner passed away yesterday at the age of 98 years of age. I mean, truly, I mean, you don't use that easily, comic genius, but he left his mark on millions and millions of people worldwide. Yeah. I think he probably came to prominence mostly for people of a certain age, the Dick Van Dyke Show, Kath.
Yeah. I didn't even watch the Dick Van Dyke Show until you told me a couple years ago I should go back and watch it. I've seen every episode at least twice.
Very nice.
It is absolutely hilarious, sweet, insightful, everything I love. Listen, if you want to get a handle on who Carl Reiner was, watch Jerry Seinfeld going to visit him and Mel Brooks together in the Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee episode. Yeah. It's beautiful. It's ridiculous. And it's incredibly eye-opening. Mm-hmm. And I can't recommend it more highly.
You know, here's the thing. When people get older, more often than not, they tend to lose their sense of humor.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know why that is, but I know that that's true. Carl Reiner never did. And he implored people to always have something to say, right? That's fun. That's easy. That's witty. To have that sense of humor. It kept him young forever.
Yeah.
Hey, thanks for being with us. Always a great pleasure. See you guys tomorrow, God willing. Have a great night.
The Ride Home with John and Kathy, a production of Salem Media Group.